Have you ever been told that you should be ashamed of yourself? That's one of the worst things that you can get told as a single human being, especially if the people that are telling you are your caregivers or the closest people to you in your life. In this video, I'm going to talk about shame, and I'm going to explain so many things that are going to help you resolve and overcome the shame that you are holding onto. Being a child from the Middle East, that culture, the upbringing that I've had, being a war child, fleeing the country that we lived in, and arriving somewhere, essentially just living in survival, I experienced a lot of trauma. And with that came a lot of shame. So I understand shame. I understand the heaviness of it, what it feels like, what it does to you, how it makes you behave consciously and unconsciously. At the core of it, shame is something that is projected onto us. It's not like we are born and we have shame. We live in a time where I define as the emotional dark ages, and that's not really going to change in our lifetime. And with that understanding, you can go towards, okay, I know that this is the way that things are in the world today. I know that most of the people, if not all of the people in my life, don't know how to be there for each other or me or themselves in an emotionally healthy way, which gets you to a place of realizing that you need to learn this yourself. You need to learn how to be there for yourself. And because no one's been able to be there for us, there are many experiences that we've had in our lives that have caused us to live extremely unconsciously. The reason you are watching this video is because you are on a journey of raising your awareness. You are becoming more conscious of what you were unconscious of. Otherwise, you wouldn't be watching this video. Because of all the experiences we've had, and we're just living unconsciously, we have a lot of unconscious views of what is right or wrong. Now, this is a huge part of shame, because we are always shamed, or we carry shame, because we have believed or adopted the idea that what I'm doing, how I'm being, who I am, is wrong. Let's talk about right or wrong. I'm not talking about facts. So I'm not talking about, well, it's factual that you can't breathe underwater because you're a human being and human beings can't do that. That's right. It's wrong to say that I can breathe underwater. I'm not talking about facts. In this video, we're talking about shame. So let's narrow it down to behaviors or beliefs. There is no belief that anyone has that is wrong. It's a belief. Right or wrong is 100% subjective. 100%. There's no little bit here or there. It's just subjective. We're talking purely about behaviors and beliefs that you may hold about yourself, who you are as a person. What is the right behavior versus what is the wrong behavior? And we see this all over the world. There are very different cultures that behave in very different ways that are even opposed to each other. There are some cultures that take out their loved ones from their graves after they've died on their birthdays every year, clothe them, and take photos of them and take pictures with them. An entire culture does this. That culture believes that that is the right thing to do, and they're okay with it. So many other cultures believe that that's weird and wrong, that you shouldn't do that. But at the objective perspective, so let's say like we're going out of the world and we're looking at the world and looking at humanity, and we're like, okay, this is what humans are like. Some humans over here do this. Some humans over here don't do that. Which one is right? Which one is wrong? The amazing thing about the answer is that none of them are right and none of them are wrong. It's a subjective opinion. To certain cultures, it's right. To other cultures, it's wrong. But let's go a little bit further. Say, okay, well, what about the survival of the species? So it's wrong to kill. It's not right to kill. Let's go biologically, because we want the species to survive and thrive and continue. Therefore, killing is wrong. But you have many countries and cultures, again, that have the death penalty. And so many people are like agreeing to that. Oh, that's right. So again, who's right? Who's wrong? Now, I'm using extreme examples here, but the reason I'm using extreme examples is to really show you that right and wrong when it comes to behavior, what type of person you are, who you are, what you should be doing, is extremely subjective. One of the biggest things about shame is that you have continuously been shamed because you have been doing or are doing or have done something that is wrong. Subjectively wrong. And because you did these things that were subjectively wrong, you were shamed for it. And that leads to thoughts and beliefs like, well, there's something wrong with me. Why am I doing these things that are wrong? Why am I behaving in a way that is wrong? And these wrong behaviors can be something that is arguably not wrong. For example, if you are the scapegoat of the family. The scapegoat of the family is the one where everyone around them in the social circle, which is the first family circle, the ones that are taking their emotional baggage out on. It's the one that's kind of like the emotional trash can of the family, the problem child, the black sheep. And the reason of that is because the scapegoat usually calls out unhealthy or toxic behavior within the family, is the one that cannot conform to this way of being because it doesn't make sense. Why do we have to constantly just be quiet about the bad stuff that's happening and put it under the carpet? Why do I always have to abandon myself for others? And the more that we bring that up in our childhood, the more we are triggering others. And because they are being triggered, then the scapegoat is the cause of it. That emotional baggage and wounds and anger and everything gets taken out on what they believe is the cause of how they feel. And that can bring a lot of shame. So now that individual, especially, will be thinking things like, what I do is wrong. I am doing wrong. But again, wrong is subjective. We learn what right and wrong is based on the environments we have grown up in and the experiences that we've had. And look, we have ways where we try to keep ourselves safe. We have behaviors, things that we do. Trauma in itself causes us to fragment our consciousness. One of the ways that we protect ourselves is that one of the main ways that we protect ourselves is that we do the thing that is being done to us so that we don't put ourselves in the same situation, experience that we were in before when we felt that shame. So if I do something as a child and I am shamed for it, that shame doesn't feel good. It's trauma to me. And I might even be told something like, you should be ashamed of yourself, which we'll come back to in a moment. Let's say that I have a sexual desire. Sexual suppression is one of the worst things for a human being, whatever your sexual preference is. But because we live in a world where society believe that you should be doing X and only X, and if you start doing Y or Z, then you are wrong. There's only one way of behaving. And if you go out of that way, then you are wrong and you're shamed for it. So let's say you have a desire to be with multiple people sexually, or you have a desire to be with the same sex, even as an experimentation, not even as a full relationship or anything, depending on the culture and also the individual families or social circles, the beliefs that they carry and that are put onto us, there is a lot of shame as a way to control, as a way to make sure that this person isn't doing or being or behaving in a way that I believe is wrong. And the way that we protect ourselves is by doing the same thing that is being done to us. One of the ways that this looks is that maybe you're watching TV with your caregiver, and in that TV show, there's same sex that kiss each other. The reaction your caregiver has is something like, oh, that's disgusting. That's so bad. That's so wrong. That shouldn't be like that. Oh my God. And let's say maybe you have that small sexual desire or curiosity within you. And because of that reaction, you now give the meaning that that is wrong. That is not good. And you've learned to always shame yourself whenever things are wrong, because that's what everyone else does. They shame you. And that's my caregiver shaming the people that are doing what they're doing on TV. So to make sure that you don't put yourself in that same position where you have witnessed is a rejection from the people that you want that acceptance from, which is your caregivers or your family, your social circle. Anytime any sexual desire comes up that goes toward what you just watched on TV, you say the same thing to yourself as you witnessed your caregiver say in that moment. Maybe you ever thought of, maybe I want to explore that. And then that part of you that has learned to keep you safe like that will repeat it like, no, that's disgusting. That is so wrong. That shouldn't be like that. So now you're starting to shame yourself. You're shaming yourself as a way to keep you safe so you don't put yourself in a position where it might lead to being rejected by the person that you want acceptance from. But these are desires, these are thoughts that are within you. So they keep popping up. And every time they pop up, you keep doing the same thing again. You keep shaming yourself. So now you have a lot of self-shame. And this isn't the first and only thing that happens. This happens in so many other ways, in so many different scenarios, not even necessarily just sexual desire. It could be not using the cutlery correctly at the table, and you're being shamed for not being able to behave the way that you're expected. So again, as a way to keep yourself safe, you shame yourself. So you make sure that you're able to correctly use the cutlery. And this happens so many times throughout your life. And eventually, you realize that you have so much self-shame. You are ashamed of who you are and how you behave, what your desires are. This is such a common behavior that you have towards yourself now that it's becoming familiar. It's a very normal way to be for you against you. And because there are so many parts that are throwing shame on so many other parts, you feel collectively that you are ashamed of yourself. And this is something that we really need to address as well. Being told that you should be ashamed of yourself is one of the worst things ever. The self is an amalgamation of the multiple parts and multiple personalities that you are. You change parts throughout the day, all day. You are parts that have certain desires, and other parts that have other desires. You are some parts that have certain beliefs, and you are other parts that have other beliefs. Some behaviors, other behaviors. But when you're getting told that you should be ashamed of yourself, and you're adopting and accepting, you are putting shame on the entire self, the entirety of your being, which means that there are so many behaviors that you have that you haven't even been told that you should be ashamed of, but now you're being ashamed of, because they are part of the self. Someone who's gone through a lot of shame will also be shamed for accidents. The blame that you would get for an accident, you then shame yourself for, because that's what you know what to do. That's how you learn to be with yourself, to keep yourself safe. So as a child, you may have accidentally broken a vase or something. And it doesn't matter if it's an accident, your caregiver will shout at you and punish you as a way to make sure that you don't do it again. Because the only thing that is being focused on is correcting behavior. So now you grow up learning that if you cause any sort of accident or even do something that the outcome of it is upset someone, even though that's not an accident, you still treat it and see it as like, oh, because of what I did caused this upset. Because that's what accidents have always been for you, upsetting others. So accidents aren't even safe. It's terrifying to do something accidentally. How crazy is that? How crazy is it? Just think for a second. How crazy is it? You're in a position where it's terrifying to do something accidentally. It's an accident. You do not plan for an accident, but it's never been safe. So whenever you do have an accident, again, self-blame, self-shame, it's your fault. It's not. And your fault doesn't necessarily mean take accountability. Your fault means you are the reason that I feel like this. Now, if I've said things that have resonated with you and you're like, okay, well, what direction do I need to go towards? We need to go towards self-love. And what I mean is real self-love, not trying to convince myself that I love myself, not toxic positivity, not trying to gaslight myself or tricking myself into thinking that I love myself. Well, I should be okay with that, so I'm going to try and be okay with that now. I'm going to try and convince myself here that I'm okay with it, even though I have so much resistance here. Self-love isn't one thing. It's an array of many things. Self-love is allowing yourself to feel how you feel and validating and accepting that. Self-love is choosing yourself. That could look like setting boundaries and sticking to them. That can also look like not going to a party when you don't really want to go to it, but you do because you're concerned about what people might say about you or think about you. The opposite of self-love is when you're doing things that's not an alignment of your values, your truth, when you do the things and then the next day you go back into the same behaviors as seeing them as wrong and shame, and you're ashamed of yourself. You need to challenge your beliefs, challenge the beliefs that you have in any scenario. Honestly, go as far as challenging your beliefs in every single scenario. Even though you may think, oh, this belief is okay, I'm happy with this one, just question it. Not question it to change it, just question it to get used to just questioning your beliefs. If the family are gathering together and I don't like spending time with the family because every time I do that, it turns out worse for me. But if they're gathering together and I don't go, am I doing wrong? Is that wrong of me? Would I go if they weren't my family, but they were still the people that who they are and they treated me the same way that they do? If I don't want to listen to my parents bickering at me about themselves and life all the time, because that's the only way that we communicate now. If I don't want to do that, is that wrong? What if they weren't my parents, but they still behave the exact same way? Would it be wrong then? Well, no. Then why is it wrong that I don't want to put myself in an environment where someone's just constantly complaining to me? Maybe I have a conversation saying, hey, listen, you complain a lot and I don't really want to have a communication with you like this. I would love to have different types of communication with you. Maybe they can't handle that. At that stage, me putting my boundary up, is that wrong? Why is that wrong? Why is it wrong for me to have a boundary? Remember, right and wrong are extremely subjective. The best way that I've heard it described is this. Think of everyone as like a camera, like a movie camera. So let's say there's four people, each person has their perspective. You have the ability to take yourself out of one perspective or one camera and put yourself in another perspective or camera. And then you see reality and everything from their point of view. And then you can do the same for each person. You'll see that there are actually four realities there. And each reality is valid because each reality is based on the experiences that each camera or person has had. And because each reality is valid, then there is no right or wrong. There isn't. They're all valid based on the experiences they've been through, what has happened to them, what beliefs they carry, how conscious or unconscious they are. So to expect all four realities, cameras, people, to go down one path or to behave one specific way is unrealistic. One thing you can do is you can actually take yourself out of the camera, take the awareness that you have out of every person and just look down. So you're not being subjective at this point. Subjective is when you're in the camera, in the person's reality point of view. When you're out, you are objective. This is the objective point of view. An objective point of view cannot have any sort of subjective opinion or morality. Morality is subjective. When you get to a stage of morally thinking, you're not in an objective point of view. From the objective point of view, you can see there is no right or wrong. It's just people's subjective opinion. This camera one or person one believes that you should do this. Person two believes that you should do this. Three believes it. They're just opinions, subjective opinion. I really need you to understand that in these moments, there is no right or wrong. There is your subjective opinion. And you get the choice whether you live in alignment of your truth or someone else's truth. We need to challenge these beliefs, the beliefs of what is right, what is wrong. We need to integrate the fragmented parts of us because of the experiences that we've had in our lives that carry a lot of shame. And we do that through feeling the shame, recognizing, becoming aware of when it's coming up, when I'm being triggered to feel shame. My self-talk is going towards that shame. I don't want to just reject and push away this self-talk. I want to allow it to come in, invite it, move forward towards it, become curious, understand it, why this part of me started talking to me in this way, where that came from. Understand those aspects of myself, what unmet needs they have, validating those parts of myself. If you want to learn full integration and how to change a belief and do all of that, I actually have an inner awareness framework that I teach my students to do all of this. You can learn the three steps behind my inner awareness framework by clicking the link, which is the first comment of this video or in the description. It's a free masterclass. You can get deep into it to explore more how to do that. At the highest level, we are all just animals on a planet. You know, we talked about the objective perspective. Let's go higher. Let's zoom out and look at planet Earth. There are so many different animals there. One of them is the human. If we were to remove everything that we've built, the houses, the planes, the satellites, the cars, the lampposts, the streets, all the buildings, we would just be animals on planet Earth. It would be the same reality that we are experiencing now, but just without this stuff, without the government system, without the financial system, without societal rules and law. Now, I'm not saying all these things are bad. I'm just saying that these are things that we have added. We have added rules, laws, ideas, ways of being, ways of behaving. It's all subjectively added. But you have been born into a reality, into a life where all of this was already here, and you were born into it, and you have adopted all of these ideas, all of the beliefs, what is right, what is wrong, that were subjectively created. And because you have adopted something that is extremely unhealthy, toxic, and in many cases not true, that is what is causing you to be extremely heavy. There is no right and wrong when it comes to things like this. It's a subjective opinion. So validate yourself. Validate how you feel. Challenge your right and wrong. And go further into this, because this is the answer. Watch my masterclass. You will get so much value from that. Go further into this. This is the path. I wouldn't be putting this video out if it wasn't. Have a lovely rest of the day.